broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Why would you tell those dumbasses at Tea Party stop asking questions about birth certificates?
I despise you. I don't want you back.
That was her seat. How dare they kick her off her something that she paid for?
I think her reaction to this type of material.
Penis.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. On this show, every night, truth is our bitch. Make it your bitch, too. I'm going to add that to the truth is our bitch. Make it your bitch, too. And we'll take you through the looking glass to find it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL, and also we are online at philhenryshow.com. Every night, we stream the show live on video as well as on as well as the audio, so you can watch a video cast of our show each and every night and watch us perform the Phil Hendry Show. We're on Facebook at Phil Hendry, or at facebook.com/Phil Hendry. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry, twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. And, of course, our website, philhenryshow.com. So you can find us in all the really important places. 877-876-PHIL. Joining me this evening, and we are holding her over because there is quite a bit of interest in a lot of the things that you have been saying here tonight, Clara, although they have not all been embraced by people. And in point of fact, they are very controversial. Clara Bingham has joined us to talk about the life closure classes that they give at Joyful Union High School in Bellflower, California. This is a private high school. It should be said, and your husband, Pastor Rennick, is the headmaster there.
He is a spiritual counselor for the school. It was founded by the pastor. It was through his fundraising efforts that school is there.
All right, but let me and it is a great work that he's done by talking to your seniors. And saying, well, you have this. What are the options that you're giving them?
So I'm saying that the options are the following. You can go on to college. You can go on to college and master in, take a major, I should say, in what interest you can go to college and feel your way. You may not have to go to college. There are a great many young people that don't what kind of career they want to have. And do not need to go to college. Although we do ask them to sit in on at least one of our life closure lectures.
All right, right there. A kid that goes to college, but he doesn't really know what he wants to major in. You have those kids sit and listen to the life closure lesson, which is basically talking about suicide.
But it is not instruction.
No, I know it's not instruction. But why the kid that knows what he wants to major in, he's going right into college. Why doesn't he get the life closure lecture?
Because, Phil, it's obvious that young person is very clear on what they want to do.
And well, he's still just a, I shouldn't say just a kid. These are people who are entering adulthood, but they can change their minds.
Well, he may well change his mind, but if that young person knows what they want to do, when they do change their mind, they will change their mind in as firm a manner as they originally made their mind up. A young person saying, I want to go to college, well, what are you going to major in? Well, I'm not sure. I think I will have my parents pay for a dorm room so I can watch all the soap opera, you know, and go to all the frat parties. I will say to him, I'm sure that you have your life planned out, but I think you need to come into our lecture hall for life coaching. There might be another young person that says, I know what I want to do when I start my career. I say, well, what is the career that you want to start? If I had a young person say that he wanted to go get right into making records, being a rock and roll, or what have you. I don't know what he wanted to do, a hip-hop, that was it. And I said, you need to take life coach.
And all right, so in other words, a kid who has a dream to be a hip-hop artist, you tell him you need to hear my lecture on suicide.
So I think that goes without saying.
Why?
Well, what are the odds that that young person is going to be a hip-hop star? That is ridiculous.
So in other words, what you're saying, you're throwing water on that kid's dreams by saying, you want to be a hip-hop artist.
But Mr. Henry, I'm with these children every day. 8 hours a day. I know these children better than their own parents. And I've said to the parents, if anyone knows that your child should at least understand the suicide option, I do. You don't. I do. You think your child, this, that, this, that. Now, if another child comes to me and says, I'm not getting into college, I'm not even going to go to a community college, what are you going to do? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I said, well, you know what we're talking about then, the SBO. And they'll say, well, Ms. Bingham, I don't think I need the SBO. And I said, you have to at least know that you've got an SBO.
And the SBO is what you call the slop bucket option, meaning you don't have to carry somebody else's slop buckets. You can commit suicide.
You make it sound like I'm the one that got that boy to carry a slop bucket. I didn't bring that child into the world. I didn't deprive that child's brain of oxygen. I wasn't smoking cigarettes or something else when I was pregnant. You think it sounds like I said, I think I'm going to make that child slop bucket. That child over there is going to be a doctor. That child over there is going to be hip-hop slash SBO.
All right, but it just sounds like you're minimizing the dreams of these kids. A hip-hop artist, you know, a lot of these kids wise up, and maybe they go into recording. Maybe they go into owning a recording studio. Maybe they go into some other facet of the entertainment business. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're with Clara Bingham from Joyful Union High School, whose life closure lessons or lectures got the parents over there, you know, opened their eyes up. And what is life closure? It is a lecture on, or a lesson in, the option of suicide.
And you have to understand, Phil, that our parents did.
Well, you said you talked to them and you shook hands and they realized it was a big misunderstanding. I'd love to talk to one or two of them if I get a chance. Here is Gloria listening on KTLK in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Gloria. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Ms. Bingham. Listening.
Yes, hello.
Ms. Bingham.
Yes, this is Clara Bingham. Hello.
Yes.
Yes,
I think,
who am I speaking with?
Yeah.
Who is this?
My name is Gloria. And I would expect...
You're talking to Clara Bingham. I'm Clara Bingham.
I would expect something more of you if you are a teacher. You need to encourage children.
I'm sorry.
You need to give them... You need to give them the right...
I need you to push the button so I can hear you better. Can you push 3? Just push the button 3.
Now, can you hear me?
Push the number 3 on your touch tone, and that'll heighten the volume.
I don't have a button to push.
You don't have a button to push?
What I'm trying to tell you is that you are discouragement to children.
How long is the cord to the phone?
Children need encouragement. And you are not encouraging them.
What is the problem? You're not giving them the best.
Hold on.
Gloria, hold on. This is Phil. What is the problem?
I can't hear her. I need her to stretch the cord of the phone out a little bit.
Stretch the cord of the phone out?
Yes, just a little bit. If you could do that, Gloria, I could hear you better. Because the phone cord is crimped up. It's keeping your voice from coming through. Is it stretched out?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. You don't have a touch tone?
Let
you can't hit the number 3?
Now, listen, I'm not going to...
Or the number 2.
But yep. We don't need to hear the number 2 or 3. Gloria is going to... I can hear you fine, Gloria. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm glad you...
Except that your philosophy is wrong. Children need to be encouraged. It doesn't matter whether they are a little retarded. They have a right to Wendy's and McDonald's. It gives them... It allows them to interact with other people. And
then
one day they will make up their own minds.
Gloria, I'm sorry. What is the problem?
If she is standing up, she's acting as an antenna, and it's drawing in... other signals.
I'll have to let
this call
down.
Can you sit down, dear? Okay, great. Now I can hear her fine.
She hung up.
Oh, all right. Why did she do that? I know. I should have had her keep standing.
No, she hung up because she couldn't take all the direction about the phone cord. Gloria, she's gone. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Charlotte here in Ontario, Canada. Charlotte, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Clara. It's Charlotte. I'm a
therapist
in Toronto, and I've been working in psychiatry and youth for 25-plus years. I am very... I usually don't get really emotional. I was on my way home from work tonight listening to the show, and it's quite angering. Yeah. It's angering to hear you and your opinions of what the way that you look at young people and youth and their future.
Are you coming back from your day as a psychotherapist?
Yes, I am. I've been doing it for 25 years now. I am really concerned about what you're doing, Clara.
So are you, you're in your late 40s?
It seems...
Would you let the, lady finish?
I'm just trying to get an idea of one.
I will not allow you to do to me what you just did to that poor elderly woman on the phone before me.
What did I do to her? I couldn't hear her.
I think you were quite rude to her. And she hung up because she got frustrated with you.
Because so, she couldn't stretch the phone cord out.
I'm not sure...
Well, why can't you just let the... Let the elderly lady, you know, Ms. Bingham, just let people talk on the phones that they have, and we won't worry about whether or not we can always amp up the volume, and you will be able to hear. Now, we have this lady, Charlotte, and we don't need to know how old she is. She's already given you her profession. She's already told you what she does and how long she's done it.
Well, I'm saying she must be in her late 40s.
Fine, great. Go ahead.
Many, many years. I'm really concerned with this very... Very dangerous and unwise reverse psychology you're playing around with youth. That it,
yes.
I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt that you're using reverse psychology in this because it's the only way I can actually look at you and think that you are really concerned about youth and trying to do something to help them, but I don't think it's really going to help. I think you're going to end up with dead children this way.
Well, I have to tell you, it is not reverse psychology. You have to understand something. In America, we have a higher percentage, shall we say, of very poor people than you perhaps have in Canada.
Actually,
in Canada, of course, it is a very you have a fewer people, and perhaps you have more services. But in America, it really is an option for someone to kill himself if they're going to carry a slap bucket. That's all I'm saying.
I've worked in America.
I don't know how many jobs you got for slop buckets.
What does slop bucket mean? Are you talking about a menial job?
Mr. Henry, I think this lady knows what I mean by slop bucket.
Yes, I do. I've been listening to your show now. What you're talking about slop bucket, and everyone's flipping burgers like I did. I flipped burgers.
And did you
my brother flipped.
While you were
my brother's
at slop bucket?
I'm a doctor.
Do a slop bucket?
Yes, I did. I started out at Dixie Lee Chicken. My brother worked at Burger King.
What? Where's that?
That's in Canada.
Everyone should do some slop bucket work when they start out just to get to know what life is really all about. And you work your way up, you go to school, and you know what? If you don't go to school, just as you're saying if kids don't go to college, they should just turn on a button and shut their life down. So I'm concerned about the lack of worth that you're putting into people. These children do not have the brain capacity until they're at least 21 to make decisions. And they're making a life decision about ending their life at a time when 17, 18, 19, kids don't even know what they're going to wear the next day. And you're talking about death, life closure, calling it something so pretty.
It happens to be a reality. I mean, everybody's going to die. You know that. I know that.
Oh,
I wonder, in your practice, I wonder how you counsel people to deal with the real, very real experience of death. Because it's as real as birth.
Grief counseling.
And it is nothing to fear.
You don't?
If a slop bucket, if SBO...
Will you knock it off with the slop bucket, please? I understand that you're saying if a kid's going to be looking at a life with a slop bucket, which means Wendy's or wherever, then they might as well kill themselves.
I have not said that, Mr. Henry. I've simply said...
Sarah?
You may want to take a look at that option.
Sarah, it isn't about fear. This is about you encouraging children, giving them the option of ending their life. And adults, when we put our signature stamp on something, we make it okay to do something. We are the grown-ups. We are supposed to know what we're talking about. You are an adult. You're telling
me. But you know that we don't. You know that we don't. And I think it's time we start talking straight and tell them we don't have all the answers.
Have you
might as well take a look. You might as well take a look at The View.
you're talking...
We don't have all the answers, so you might as well take a look at the view, meaning they might as well walk up to the top of a building and kill themselves?
This lady wants to fool these kids into thinking that she's some kind of, what do you want to call it, like a Harry Potter? I'm sorry.
Who cares about
you know,
Harry?
What do you think?
You're talking about a movie.
You think you're Harry Potter, and you're laying all this stuff on these kids like you're some kind of wizard or something.
These smacks of Soylent Green, where in
isn't that what you want kids to think, Charlie? You want them to think you're the wizard in Lord of the Rings?
Green, Clara?
And you want, what's that? Soylent Green?
Sarah, I'm up at 2 in the morning talking to you. It's 2 in the morning here. Listen, have you seen the movie Soylent Green?
You're not even ready. Yes. Tell them Soylent Green is people. Yeah, tell them it's Soylent Green's people.
I used to say that about
Boca Burger. Tell them Boca Burger made out of people, you know.
Not listening. The point
I got to hold on. I got to ask my crew. Are we supposed to break? Because I don't know. Hold on for just a we got to break. Oh, I'm sorry. Charlotte, I'm sorry. We've been going too long. I was supposed to break. I've blown right through the break. I appreciate your call, though. 877-876-PHIL is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
It's
the Phil Hendry Show.
I understand.
Yeah, little Soylent Green is people. It's people.
Get your hands off me, damn dirty ape. Phil Hendry. 877-876-PHIL. Yeah.
What do you want? Phil, I've got what you wanted to hear. If you just listen for a minute, because I did find it.
You gotta tell them Soylent Green is people!
That's the one there.
Yes, I didn't need to hear that.
That's a Soylent Green made out of people. That's right.
I understand that. That was what the other caller was talking about. 877-876-PHIL. I didn't need to hear it from the movie. Here is Ron on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Ron.
Thanks, Phil, for taking my call.
Yes.
Phil, I couldn't
believe
I was hearing what I was hearing on the radio with this lady, Miss Carol. I don't think she have any kids. Do she have any kids at all? I didn't hear her say that she had kids.
I don't have children, but I have students that I care very much for.
Yeah, but you don't have any kids of your own. That's what I'm saying, right?
No, I don't have time for children. I'm a teacher. I have some 50 children a day.
That answered my question when you didn't have the time, because anytime you could teach kids how to kill themselves when they're young kids and develop their mind, it's very bad to think of that. Because
I'm not teaching them how to do that.
I come from the rural South.
I'm not teaching them how to do that. I'm teaching
them an option. An option means you got a choice. Is that right? That's what they told me.
Yeah, right? Bucket option, yeah. Yeah.
A slop bucket. I don't know where you get the slop bucket from. I don't know what you call
because
it.
These children are going to be carrying people's slop buckets. When they get out of high school, they're going to be carrying people's slop buckets.
It's a job. You get paid for that, you know?
That's no job at all.
But what if the kid wants to do that? What if the kid wants to do that?
No kid. You got to tell any kid that says to you with a straight face, I'd like to go carry people's slop buckets. You got to say, you know, there is another way. Show them the view.
There is another way. Jump off the top of a building.
Well, I don't know. I talked to this gentleman here on the phone. Do you want? I bet you don't carry a slop bucket. I know Mr. Henry doesn't carry one.
I have carried a slop bucket. Yes, I have. I've carried slop buckets. I've carried
you
slop
don't carry
buckets.
Them. You don't carry them no more.
The whole 9 yards. But I just can't see it's a job, you know? And if they don't get no education, they're going to continue to carry slop buckets.
But did someone tell you about SBO?
What? Wait a minute. This man no longer carries slop buckets.
That's because he got the SBO.
What does that mean, he got the SBO? Were you told to kill yourself, Ron? I'm sure you were not when you were
a
kid.
No, I don't understand this, lady. I think you're something wrong with her.
I'm talking about the slop bucket option.
Well, nobody's going to come up to the kid and say, oh, you're carrying slop buckets, huh? Why not kill yourself? Let me take you up on top of a building and show you the great view. And for you to say that to a young person...
I'm just asking this man, Mr. Henry, excuse me, and I don't mean anything by this, but you're a white man. I mean, these two black people talk about it. Now, I'm talking to this man here. Sir, did you ever get a slop bucket option, yes or no?
Did I get what?
Slop bucket option. A
I
or
say
B.
I, My mother did that type of work for us because that's what she had to do. That was her job she had to do for us. She had nine kids. She did that. Okay? But we helped her do this. Okay? That was a choice that we helped her do.
I would have given her the life closure. I bet your mother would have loved to jump off a bridge. But nobody ever gave it the SBO.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it, Ron. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Slop bucket option.
You got to tell him, Silent Breed is people!
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I'm joined in this segment of our program by Larry Grover. Mr. Grover is with an organization called Fair Play for BP. And we've had Larry on as well as in his capacity as chairman of Conservatives for Kern County. And the Fair Play for BP, Larry, that we're going to be talking about, is allowing British Petroleum to, you know, reestablish itself with the people, reestablish its good intentions, have good faith between the public and this corporation. Am I pretty much close to it?
I would hasten to tell you, Phil, that Fair Play for BP is a two-way street. We want British Petroleum to know that we are, as a consumer, we understand that we're not babes in the woods. We understand that especially a high-tech business like oil exploration, oil drilling, and the delivery of oil to refineries to be refined into gasoline, which we put into our automobiles and use for so many other things, we understand that that is not the kind of business that, is incident-free. It's not as if they're making toys. It's not as if they're making candy. It is a very specialized business. We do applaud BP removing from the CEO chair, Tony Hayward, and replacing him with Bob Dudley. And the news we just got now is that this man Hayward is going to be in till October, and Dudley is going to be replacing him then. And we right now want a company that is going to communicate with us. And we feel that that's been a good step.
The fact that they're hiring Bob Dudley and they're firing or moving out of the, at least out of this area of the business, Tony Hayward.
That is correct.
Why do you call that good faith?
Well, first of all, Bob Dudley's an American, and that is probably the most prominent aspect of Bob Dudley, his position here, because he's talking to, America, the United States. This is a major area of oil exploration and development for the British. You're talking to an American consumer, and I don't think there is a one of us that would not feel more comfortable being spoken to by an American, a flat tone, middle American. Now, I have yet to hear Bob Dudley. I don't know whether we're going to be going from one extreme to the other. We had with this man Hayward, obviously, a fully culturalized, fully incubated and culturalized Englishman, a Brit. It was in his speech, it was in his manner, and obviously it put us off.
Were you talking about him being British, as in his accent?
Absolutely. The first thing you hear is the British accent coming from a man who shows no concern for the American environment, the American consumer, the country, and we are suddenly taken mentally, if you will, back to the days of colonial times when we heard that kind of voice coming from someone who was instead telling us to lick their boots or was having their way with a woman in our family.
Well, I mean, God, but Larry, please, you know, we're talking here about British Petroleum, the modern American Englishman, the modern Englishman, I should say, who is a great friend to our country, you know.
No, but I understand that. But you have to realize Phil, you're a very open-minded man, but I think at the very organic and at the very basic level, when we hear this guy Hayward talk, we hear the voice of someone that at one time was having his way with women in our family. Now, you can't get that out of your system. And
with I'm the son of immigrants. My parents came here from Canada in the late 40s. Okay, does that mean that I don't...
No, this is a shared experience of all Americans, steeped in American history, that when you hear an Englishman, I don't understand. When you heard his voice, you didn't think immediately you were not transported to a time and a place where you stood helplessly and watched a man in breech pants, high boots, and a red coat having his way with your sister. You didn't see that, or you...
Well, what am I supposed to see? Am I seeing this in my mind's eye?
You're experiencing a primal feeling that all Americans have about the British when they talk to us like we're stupid. And that's what this man Hayward was doing.
I understand that this man Hayward's manner left a lot to be desired. I have no doubt that you're right there, Larry. I have no doubt that this man, as a public spokesman, was terrible. I will never really know how good an executive he is. I'm assuming that he reached the higher levels of the executive world at BP because he was a competent man and he helped that company expand its business. But for whatever reason, he's not too much of a public personality. Okay.
Well, that's a lot of noise. Did you hear what I just said? When you heard him talk, when you heard his voice...
No, I didn't see a British redcoat having his way with my sister.
Well, all right. Let's go. Let's get off that.
I'd appreciate it, yeah.
But the fact is that...
Now, I can understand... Hold on. I can understand if you were to say there's some English... the English accent, which, by the way, research tells us in our business, the British accent Americans like... We don't dislike it. We like it. We've had a lot of British personalities come over here and be very successful, very popular in entertainment and television and in radio. The sound of the British accent doesn't put us off.
Well, I'm not saying that it puts us off, but I am saying that when they talk down to us while they are defecating into one of the most pristine and gorgeous areas of our environment, I am telling you that the American who is, I don't know what to say. I know you to be a loyal American, but I'm saying that the American who is organically tied to the roots of this country can only hear the voice of a guy in a red coat telling you to pull his boots off and go and pour him whatever they, the tea or whatever that, the tea is. Well, there's Mr. Hendry's laughing, so we know that at least one of you is having a good time tonight.
All right.
See, what I'm saying, Phil, is a very important thing.
You were going to come on here and talk about the BP making the right moves.
BP has made the right move.
All right, because the name of your organization is Fair Play for BP.
That is correct.
All right. So... let's forget about the British guy that sounds like a red coat telling me to pull his boots off or having his way with my sister.
You don't have to keep talking about it with that incredulous tone to your voice like I'm completely, like I'm as nutty as that last lady you had on. I understand that you don't understand what I'm saying. Let's leave it at that.
That's fine.
Now, this man Dudley is an American. This is what my understanding is. We have to, and the reason why I was making the comments that I was making about the English guy, Hayward, is because we don't want to hear that ever again. As Americans, if we're dealing with BP, if we're listening to one of their principals talking publicly, if we're listening to an executive with a company communicating with the public, with the consumer, we want to hear an American. No more, no more, no more. We want to hear an American. And
well, you wouldn't say that a British person who is a little bit more personable.
No more, no more, no more. American, American, American. That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to see. I have not heard Bob Dudley, and this was the emphasis we'd made. He's got to sound like an American. Now, I feel this is so important in rehabilitating BP's image and getting the stock price back up that we would like to hear. And I'm not sure I know where Mr. Dudley is from. Do you know?
No, I do not, no.
Because we need him to have a flat Illinois accent, and here's what I mean by that. Just to talk like a normal man, and we don't want any... What we don't want is any New England-sounding voice, and certainly, and with the greatest of respect, we don't want... Oh, come on. I just got the news. He's from Mississippi.
No, he's from New York, but he grew up in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Right, I'm not sure what that means.
Well, he grew up there.
So that means he's... That is something that I don't think the American people are going to want to. I don't think the BP is thinking of it. But they took the British out of there. They put the Englishman out of there. Now they got a guy in there who's from Mississippi. And to me, that's going backwards. Not backwards. But
what? Why? Because there's an accent?
Because of the accent. Yeah. So.
Oh come on, Larry. He's an American. There's nothing more American to me than the Southern accent. If you want my honest opinion.
Nothing more American than a Southern accent. I just feel more comfortable if it was the flat Illinois accent.
What is a flat Illinois accent?
I don't know, but it doesn't have a New York sound to it. It doesn't have a Mississippi sound to it. It doesn't have that New England, the pack the car. It doesn't have that West Coast drawl. So what we were looking for and what we were hoping for and frankly what we were praying for was a flat Illinois accent and not yet another foreign, very harsh sound of the ear. And
all right, you are interested in BP communicating with the American people. You have put all this emphasis so far on the accents.
Well, in the case of BP, they made it the issue.
So, in other words, they got rid of an Englishman. In your mind, that was a good move. They put an American in. That was a good move. But now you find out the American comes from Mississippi and may have a Southern accent, and so that's going backwards.
It's not going backwards, but there's no difference in terms of the confidence level. If I hear a British accent, you didn't want me to use this, but I found out that they polluted my environment, I think of a British colonel who has just taken his wig off and he's having his way with my brother, all right, and in my own home. He's got no wig on. And
I understand what you're saying. So what are you seeing when you hear a Southern accent?
When I hear a Southern accent, I'm looking at a guy in bare feet who has just killed me. And I have boots on and I've got a uniform on, but he's just killed me.
What is that, man?
I'm talking about a guy with bare feet and a gun just killed me, and he's from the South.
Is it the Civil War?
Yes.
And that's what we all think about.
That is the iconic archetype, yeah.
I know a lot about archetypes, Larry.
Please don't start quoting Carl Jung, okay? Please, please, oh, please, please don't do that. Please?
All right, fine, I won't.
I'm just telling you, the archetype for me is when I hear a Southern voice, I hear a guy that I thought was dumb but was smarter than me. He didn't have as good equipment as I did, but I'm dead, and he is walking back whistling to his cabin.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Larry Grover about the BP, the new choice of executive there at BP. The new CEO is a guy by the name of Bob Dudley. I understand he is a highly recommended chap. What did I say, Jap?
You said Jap.
No, I said chap. He is the odds-on favorite to replace Hayward, and we just got the word that he will, in fact, replace Tony Hayward in October. Bob Dudley is a Mississippian. He was born in New York, raised in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And he's back, because I think he was at one time the head of BP. Bob Dudley. We'll be back with Larry Grover. 877-876-PHIL. Does it make any difference to you that we now have an American running this company in terms of their ability to communicate with us? 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover has joined us. Mr. Grover with Conservatives of Kern County and Fair Play for BP as we talk about the new executive, chief executive of BP, having been named Bob Dudley. Mr. Dudley is American by birth, born in New York, raised in Mississippi. He's been with British Petroleum for many years. He's a company guy. And let's see, did the price go up? It went, it rose $1.82, Larry, on this announcement.
Well, I'm very hopeful, but I have to tell you, I was very hopeful when I heard that Mr. Dudley was an American, but I've lost hope within the last 20 to 30 minutes when I just got the news now, and I did have it independently corroborated that he was, while born in the North, and even though I don't think New York is the optimum place of birth, he's raised in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Well, you said that you wanted somebody with a flat Illinois accent. Are we talking strictly about the communication skills of this individual?
I'm talking about restoring faith in British Petroleum. The American people are not going to accept, and we know this, and British Petroleum knows it, they're not going to accept another Englishman with a clipped, crisp, boarding school accent like this Hayward, and they want an American, and that's just what we want. But we certainly don't want an American that brings up images as negative as the clipped and crisp and fresh accent of a boarding school Englishman, college preparatory school Englishman, who sounds as if he's being fitted for his wig and his ride, his fox hunt.
Look, at these are all stereotypes, man. Mr. Dudley is a longtime oil guy, and he is an American. Most of the market that British Petroleum has is American, and I think this is why they made the decision that the consumer that British Petroleum is serving, the primary customer that British Petroleum has is an American customer. Here is Travis in North Carolina listening on WNBU. Travis, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Fine.
I don't listen much, but I had to call in. Mr. Larry has, I'm sorry, sir, but you have no business speaking for what the American people want. You have no idea what you're talking about. The American people want somebody. No, can I speak? Can I speak?
Certainly, but I just wondered in what sense you meant.
Well, you're saying that the American, that brings up negative images of man being from the South. The American people want somebody that's not going to beat around the bush. They want somebody to tell us how it is. And it doesn't matter where he's from, Illinois, the South, the North. It doesn't matter. That is totally irrelevant in this situation. Totally. And I mean,
I think the Englishman put us off. You have to admit, hearing this Englishman, it didn't make you think about your sister? No, it doesn't.
And how's, I mean, you talk about a flat Illinois accent. How's that working out for you in the White House there, Larry? Really? I mean, just come on, man. You don't know what you're talking about.
Obama was elected president. What do you think? Huh?
Yeah, he's doing a great job.
That means the people wanted him to
anyway,
well,
Larry,
that may be a matter of discussion, but the fact is he was elected, so that
Phil.
Illinois accent worked out real good.
Yeah.
And don't talk to Phil. He's not going to save you. I'm talking to you now.
I don't need him to
I'm
save
talking
me.
To you now. And I'm
Phil,
telling
I
you... No, don't talk to Phil. He doesn't want to talk to you.
Don't tell me
what I want to talk about, okay? What do you want, sir?
Mr. Phil, I'm sure you agree with me that this guy is so far out of bounds with this.
I don't like the idea of saying that, you know, when we hear a Southern accent, we're thinking of a Confederate soldier who just shot us, or when we hear an English accent.
It is your iconic and archetypal. And this man...
Okay, Travis is from the South. What does he think of when he hears my accent?
I'm in the Marine Corps, sir. And, you know, when people think I'm from the South and they know I'm in the Marine Corps, they don't think of me as a Confederate Marine. They think of me as United States Marine. It doesn't matter where you're from.
You were just talking smack about your commander-in-chief, by the way. I'd watch that if I were you.
Okay. Sir, you're talking about what you're worried about. Please do not say this is what the American people want, because you don't know what the American people want.
That's a personal opinion, Larry. And, you know, frankly, as I've said, I can show you the research. We don't dislike British accents. And I've always thought the Southern accent's the most American accent. So the fact is, what we're worried about is that BP does their job responsibly, delivers the product that we want them to deliver. They do it responsibly. They do it with safety. And that, yeah, that the guy communicates directly with us and doesn't fool around.
Well, I think you're saying very dangerous things, both of you. To hear a British accent and you don't think of a guy, think of a guy in a red coat turning your wife around and taking.
Okay, I've heard all of the stuff. Travis, thank you. Thanks very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Rebecca, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
This is a bunch of silliness. Anyway, we wear shoes in Mississippi now, and we don't bother with shooting the people first. We just bury them alive.
That's what you call a countryism, Phil. That was great. Bury them alive.
Okay, thank you, Doug. I love you. Bye.
Isn't that great? So she just came out. She just wrecked your show, Phil.
How'd she wreck it?
She came out with that cornball like she's listening to Lenny Porch. Oh, God help me. God help me.
Phil Hendry.